Come to 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John. But that's a testimony that you don't have to succumb to sin. You don't have to live a life of wickedness. You don't have to do what the rest of the world says. The world tries to convince you that, you know, I read an article not long ago, you know, something like to the effect of, is it even possible to live without sin in a wicked world? Well, if the Bible's true, it is. But you sort of ask that question as if to kind of say it's just really not possible because there's so much wickedness going on. Well, you need to become a Bible believer because the Bible says you can step away from that. You're getting kind of nervous. I'm talking to you today about something that's not mentioned much anymore. You live in a day and time where a drunk is really an alcoholic, or a drug addict is a substance abuser, or a junkie has an addictive personality, a thief is a kleptomaniac, a murderer is a victim of society, an adulterer has adult consent or is having an affair, a sodomy is an alternative lifestyle. Right. Nowadays, when you mention the thing in church called sin, everybody says, well, not really sin, it's really a mistake, or it's an error, or I kind of had sort of a difficult upbringing, the situation where I was at, it created sort of a problem in me that I can't overcome in and of myself and all that. Well, the Bible teaches you clearly opposite than that. Ladies and gentlemen, sin still exists in the church. It still exists in the world, and it's still something that we're supposed to fight against. And I want you to understand that we're going to talk a little bit about it today in spite of how unpopular it might be. Folks don't want to call sin, sin anymore. We just have a pretty name for it and make it up. But listen, Christ died for sinners. So if you want to get saved, you have to get somebody lost first. And that's a difficult thing because people think, well, don't say the word sin. We're in church. We say sin and hell in church. Not something you may say out there in the world except in a curse word, but sin is part of the Bible. Sin's not mentioned as much as, I mean, as mentioned a whole lot less than an error or a mistake or a fault and those kind of things. We're going to talk today also about secret faults. All secret faults are things that eventually become are earthquakes or disasters. Secret sins. Things nobody knows about. Things that you're sitting here with the veneer of godliness on, that God knows exactly what goes on in your heart and you don't care anymore about what God thinks. You have no fear of God. It doesn't bother you at all if God knows what you're doing. You're not scared at all of God. You're saved by the blood. You're eternally secure. And so you just keep doing it and ask for forgiveness and then come to church and get mad because you happen to get knocked between the eyes every time you walk in the door. A preacher's preaching on heaven and you feel like the opposite direction. And the reason is because you're not willing to admit you're the one with the problem. Blame it on everybody else. Society says blame it on this and blame it on that and blame it on the other thing and all that. Why don't you take the blame yourself? I hear all these guys all the time talking about what a man they are and what a man of God they are and all that kind of stuff. And they tremble like a dog eliminating a peat seed when he's sitting there. They're just, you know, when it comes to just being, it's like, well, I kind of was just sort of thinking maybe possibly there's a reason why I kind of did, and you got to kind of back off and forgive me, and you should really understand, and, you know, we've all messed up and all. Shut up and just man up. Amen. Women in society have more backbone than you do. Man, stand up and say, it was me, I was wrong, I did it. That's David. Man after God's own heart. But nowadays it's, you know, well, how can I justify what I'm doing? You can't. You need Jesus to cleanse you and you need to get right with God. Look, if you will, please, let's just pick it up in verse number 3, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 3. Thank you for standing. And I will try my best to restrain myself to some degree. Preacher, I'm really not wicked, preacher. I'm just weak. I'm really not sinful. I'm sick. I'm really not evil, preacher. I'm just ill. Preacher, I did some things, but if you understood the circumstances from which I came, you would understand I was preordained, foreordained to become these things because of things that occurred in my life. And because my dad was a drunk, I had to become a drunk. And because my dad or my mom was this, or because this environment, that is a lie right out of the pit of hell itself. And we refuse to accept that the Bible calls it sin, and there's not a justification for why I did it, except you are a fallen creature. You're prone to wander and you're prone to sin. Now that's just the fact of the matter. and you keep repeating the behavior because you don't want to change. It's not somebody else's fault. Well, there's just too many temptations around me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't tell me you can't quit. God says you can. Preacher, you just don't understand the temptation and the pressure and the difficulty. No, but I understand the Bible. And I understand human nature. And I understand that if you want to quit bad enough to get on your face and beg God to do something with it, God will help you to overcome that thing. But if you won't, He will not.
That's right. That's good.
Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Not just the previous verses, but the verses He's fixing to write. Some of you are miserable in the Christian life because you don't apply the principles set forth in the next few verses. The Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him. And now, of course, declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're a product of our environment and have a psychological idiosyncrasy in our mind that causes us to react and respond the way that... I'm sorry, that's not what it says. He just says, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here comes another if. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us.
Amen.
Used to be Sergeant of Homicide T.K. Waters, now Chief T.K. Waters. You ask the Lord to bless us if you would, please. Thank you. You may be seated. Little boy walked into a drugstore one time and he asked the owner of the drugstore, he said, can I please borrow the telephone? This, of course, is before the days that everybody had a cell phone, because what would we do without a cell phone? Probably live a happier life. I wish I had a nickel for everybody that got in trouble because of a cell phone. In the old days, all you could get on a cell phone was a phone number. Then came texting. Then came cameras in the phone. And now, shall I go any further? My, how technology has improved. He said, may I borrow the telephone? The man that owned the drugstore said, sure. He laid it up on the counter and the boy picked up the telephone and he dialed the pharmacy. The owner of the drugstore picked it up and he said, may I help you? And he said, yes, sir. He said, I just wanted to know, do you have any positions available? And he said, well, we don't really have any positions available right now for work. And the little boy said, well, I just wanted to know if maybe you had a position available. No, sir, we don't have a position available. Well, can I ask you this? Are you happy with the guy that's there? And the pharmacist said, yes, sir, we're real happy with him. But does he do a good job stocking the shelves and doing the things that he's supposed to do? Yes, we're not interested in anybody else. And he hung the phone up and the pharmacist came up and he said, well, I'm sorry, young man, that we were unable to do it. He said, no, I was the guy calling. I was checking up on myself to see if you were happy. Too often we don't check up on ourselves. We're pretty good at checking up on everybody else. Not very often do we call the owner of the store and say, I was just calling to see whether or not you were pleased with what it is that I'm doing. Wanted to know whether or not you liked what you were seeing and the kind of employee that I was. And too often nowadays we have a really bad tendency. What we're doing for is we're looking for a cure rather than a cleansing. In other words, we think that we're sick instead of a sinner. We think that the problem is everything else, that we just can't help ourselves. There was a day and time where holy living was something that was equated with or associated with or naturally a part of becoming a part of a local church. Even if you were not saved, they believed in clean living. We live in a day and time nowadays where nobody wants to admit that we need that problem. Now let me make sure you understand, when we're going to talk about sin, understand that at salvation, your sin, past, present, and future, has been put away from you. He said He blotted out your transgressions. He said He put them behind His back. He put them into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. In other words, when He remembers them, He doesn't remember them as an act that is continuing to be repeated. He remembers that sin as one that has been forgiven. Don't get the idea that now all of a sudden that He doesn't remember anything you did, because too often people don't understand that with sin comes repercussions. Even though forgiveness has taken place, David still had to pay four sheep for a sheep. You live in a day and time now that what people try to do is sort of get out in front of things a little bit and kind of do half measures to sort of make up for real biblical repentance. The Bible says a couple of things about that, and I want to take a look at those things that we can, please. I want to say this. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Is that in the Bible or not? I thank God for a dad. Sorry for those that are offended. Here's a dad story. My dad had a garage, had a study in it. Up over the top was a storage place and so on and so forth. You went out the carport, down three big steps. You went into the little door, opened up the door, and turned an immediate right. Right before you stepped out on the patio was his, I called it the inner sanctum. That's where he went to study. More times than not, that light was burning late in that study on a Saturday night, preparing for Sunday or during the week, because he had that office, that room full of study materials. I cannot tell you how many times it was in that study, not in my bedroom or in another room in the house, that I went outside. I found out later the reason was is he didn't want everybody else hearing me holler when he was whipping me. But my dad would take me to what some people would call the woodshed. My dad would take me out back, and I learned that it's because my dad loved me that he not only told me when I did wrong, but then even though he forgave me for doing wrong, he still gave me the punishment that came with doing wrong. Why? Because he loved me. The very idea that God loves you but does not punish you equitably with what you've done is a perverted kind of a God. You live in a day where God's all forgiveness, all forgiveness, all just forgive, just forgive, just forgive, just forgive. Hey, let me say this. Sometimes your actions cause great damage to other people. There are people watching. In Matthew chapter 27, the Bible says, and sitting down they watch him. Their sin always causes other people to look. Sin always causes people to gamble and take chances. Sin always causes people to gawk or to mock or to make fun. I mean, there are people watching you when you sin. You don't sin alone. Not only that, you corrupt your conscience. You create issues for yourself. And what brings into question is then the Lord comes and He deals with you in a thing called, number one, conviction. You come to church and you're thinking, oh, I just need to be lifted up and exhorted. Can I say it would be a perverted God that would encourage you in your sin? It would be a perverted God. It would be a messed up God that would come into you and would say to you, listen, whatever you're doing, it's okay with me because, you know, I'm just the forgiver of sin. You need to realize that when you're sinning, you're not just sinning against people and yourself. You're sinning against a holy God. He died for your sins according to the Scripture and was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture. Sonship is by birth. Fellowship is by conduct. Sonship is by birth. Fellowship is by convert. Let's look at this passage and see if maybe we can get some things out of it. In verses 5 to 7, you know what you'll begin to learn? You'll begin to learn there's an interesting thing in this passage that shows up. In verse number 6, do you see the word lie? In verse number 8, do you see the deceive? And then in verse number 10, do you see again what he says there? He said, we make him a liar. Isn't it interesting that connected with one of the greatest passages on sin and fellowship with the Lord, that word lie, liar, and deceit shows up on a regular basis? Isn't that an interesting thing? That the truth of the matter is that we begin, first of all, when we begin to sin, we begin to lie to ourselves. We lie to deny. We make half measures. I'm really not having that a problem. I'm not a junkie. I just have a little problem. I'm not an addict. I just have a little problem. I don't have a problem with pain pills. I just eat them a bottle at a time. I don't have a problem with liquor. I just have some when I'm hurting. That all becomes relative. I don't have a problem with pornography. I just look at it when I don't have it, because I'm a single person, and it must be okay, right? God understands. I'm not married, or I am married and my wife is not. Well, I'm talking like way too close to the cotton. Because now all of a sudden it's talk about a drug addict. But don't talk about what I do, because my sin's clean. I ain't got no needle in my arm. I ain't got no suds going down my throat. I'm not sucking on a cigarette. No, but you're sinning with your eyes.
That's right.
And it ain't just men anymore.
Right.
Now all of a sudden it's, well, we have needs. Your needs are on steroids. You're out of control. That's not a need. That is a wicked desire out of control.
Right.
You're out of control.
That's right.
Now, if we were to transfer that over to something like as horrible and as disastrous as pedophilia, you would all be like, oh, preacher, not children. No! Same industry. Same group. Oh, well, it's acceptable here. Well, then why not? Hey, before long, you know what we'll do? We'll say, well, everybody who has a, here's a new catchphrase, alternate lifestyle, gay, lesbian, or in-betweens, well, they can't help it because the environment they came up in, or because of what happened in their background, or because of this, they are telling you less than one-tenth of the story. Everybody that goes in that direction has not been abused.
Right.
They're trying to convince you there must be a justifiable reason for me being this way. No, there is not. You are a sinner, and you have sinned against a holy God. Well, preacher, just understand and forgive. Understand? Well, preacher, you're not perfect. There's where you go. Soon as the conviction comes, it's, what about him? What about her? What about the hypocrite? Hypocrites in the church. If you're hiding behind the hypocrites, you're smaller than they are. Now kids are growing up. And they look at adults continually justifying their wickedness and lying. That's what the Bible says. We claim to be walking in the light, but the Bible says you ain't walking in the light if you're doing that. He didn't say you're not saved. He said you're not in fellowship. Some of you are sitting here today and you are not in fellowship. You're saved. But you've made a choice to do some things that are not pleasing to God. And now you've kind of fed into the lie that the world has taught you, certainly not the Holy Ghost, is the bearer of all truth. The Bible says in John chapter 16, when the Holy Ghost has come, He will convince the world of sin. Convince the world of sin. When God says it's sin and the world says it's some psychological, psychodynamic, some kind of idiosyncrasy or some kind of oddity, and you're looking for something to blame it on or to pin it on instead of accepting, as David did, my sin in the Old Testament, it's the same as the sin in the New Testament. I'm guilty before God, but now we got all these excuses to blame it on. We live in a sin-soaked, sin-sick world, so we can't help ourselves. We're bound to fall in it. It's a terrible thing, but we lie. The Bible says in verse number 6, and do not the truth. Number 2, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here's a strange thing. We start believing our own lie. I couldn't help it. Christians, now I'm not talking about lost people, they ain't got nothing. I couldn't help it. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Not to sound unintellectual, but the Bible says you're lying. And the Bible says when you put on that veneer of walking in the light, clothe yourself as if you're in the light, how many sermons you preach, how many lessons you teach, how many witnesses you give out, how many opportunities you take to put on the veneer of light, the Bible says you are a liar. Don't be calling me no liar. What are you so offended by? Truth hurts? You're a liar. That's the Bible word. He says you're lying. I'm just kind of shading the truth. I'm kind of, hyperdynamically, after all we evolved, we came from soup. Well, then we've gone from soup to nuts, I guess. The very idea. I evolved out of a bowl of soup, became a monkey, and now I'm whatever I am. My ancestor is not King Kong. Or some chimpanzee named Cheetah. I came from a creation. God made me from a man and a woman coming together, but God bringing to me supernatural life. And the day came when I was 7 years of age that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when I did that, I became supernaturally born again of God. And I'm going to live with Him eternally forever because of a supernatural seed. Wore out with the day and time where it's just compromised and become complacent for the sake of let's just keep everybody in. At some point in time, judgment needs to begin, and I think it must begin with us. Amen. Stop acting like we're something that we're not.
Amen.
And if you're sitting there thinking of the sins of everybody else right now, you've already missed the boat. This ain't going to help you at all. And if you're sitting there right now and you're good and mad, then you're in the right spot. Because God's interested in dealing with you. He said, number one, you're a liar. God looks through all that stuff. And He said, oh, look at him. He's on the mission field, or he's out on the street, or he's passing out tracts, or he's singing a song, or preaching a sermon, or playing an instrument, or he goes to church. And the Lord said, so? He's a liar. He ain't walking in the light. He knows what it looks like to walk in the light, but he ain't walking in the light. He's in darkness. He's not in fellowship. He's still saved. But he's not doing right. And now he's deceived himself into believing that what he's doing is really not sin. See, it's not, I mean, it's, it really, I mean, because God hasn't slapped the snot out of him or her, that God must be looking at it and saying, well, I know you thought it was sin, but that was really false conviction. And that's the devil. When the Lord accuses you, He puts His finger on a specific thing and says, you know that's wrong. The devil just makes like this big giant accusation. Puts you under false conviction. Make sure you clearly understand that. But there's no way that after a while you convince yourself that something that is clearly not in line with the Bible. Well, preacher, I repented. You don't know the meaning of the word. Repented doesn't mean you came out of the closet. Just because you feel better because everybody knows, that ain't repentance.
Right.
Just because everybody now knows, it's like, hey, I've covered everything. Nobody can accuse. Nobody can come at me. Nobody can say anything. Nobody can do anything because, hey, everybody knows we're all sinners. I mean, it's called, in the legal terms, the cast the first stone defense. That's what it's called. That's what they use. They go to a trial, like for instance a DUI trial, and they get ready in closing arguments, and though all the evidence says this guy was caught, and he was Mirandized, and given his rights, and they got him on camera, and nobody beat him, put on a bunny suit, and beat him with a carrot, or something crazy, you know, they did everything legitimate, everything legal, and all that kind of stuff, and he flunked all of his tests, blew on the breathalyzer, was over the limit. They're losing the case. Here's closing arguments. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the state has put on a very convincing case. And I suppose if I was in your position, I would believe what they had presented. But I might suggest this to you. Has any of you here ever driven home under the influence of an alcoholic beverage? And if you have, how could you dare find my client guilty? Has any of you ever done anything wrong or illegal? And if so, how could you dare point a finger at the accused? And often they will even say, don't the Scriptures say, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone? You know what's odd is oftentimes because in closing arguments they don't allow you to have objections and rebuttals and that kind of a thing. You have to wait for your chance to get up. So oftentimes there's no objection at all from the state and the people are like, well, you know what, I did do it. So how can I say that he was wrong because I've sinned too? Because you weren't caught and you're not on trial. That's why. And the individual that's on trial, them that sin rebuked before all, the Bible says, you say, why? That others may fear. Man, I got away with it. I better not take God's grace for granted. I might not get away next time. I might have my posterior here the next time. I might be sitting here the next time. I might be on trial next time. Maybe I should make sure there's not a next time. That's the reason for the death penalty. You say, why? You did this, you die. Might be 30 years till you die, but you die. Why? I don't want to do that. Why? I might die. Or rot in prison. But society has woven such a web of lies that the church has now just sort of become a cesspool of, oh, well, it don't matter. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay. We're all sinners. Hey, we're all sinners, but it ain't to be out in the public for everybody to see and everybody to partake of it. We should be putting a stop to the foolishness. And we become liars if we became a participator in that. Well, preacher, you know, in the society in which we live, I'm wore out with everybody does it. I don't do some of the things that you do. So don't say everybody. Preacher, don't you believe God has grace? I do. You've shown it to me on a number of occasions. Has He not ever shown it to you? But don't ever take God's mercy, His long-suffering, and His grace as Him condoning your wickedness. Folks that continue to do that, you know what they said? The Bible says, number one, they're lying. Number two, they've deceived themselves and they deceive others. Number three, there's only 10 of these, so we'll be out of here pretty quick. Not only that, but I want you to see this. Look in verse number 10. We not only lie to ourselves when we deny sin, we deceive ourselves, but look, if you will, please, in verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. We divide the Savior. God's not a liar. God says under the Holy Ghost conviction that you did wrong, it's not enough to just say, okay, I did wrong. These guys that are in here that have been around a lot longer than I have, they could tell you a whole lot more illustrations. But I can't tell you how many times I've had people that catch religion in the box or the interview room. And they all of a sudden feel repentant. I'm bad. There's two kinds of repentance. Godly sorrow that leadeth to the right kind, and worldly sorrow that leadeth to the wrong kind. The godly sorrow is I'm admitting it before I get my hand caught in the cookie jar and I'm not trying to preserve my rear end. The worldly sorrow is, uh-oh, I got caught now. I better do what I can. That's a psychopathic way of asking for forgiveness. That's what I call a Ted Bundy forgiveness. That's a Ted Bundy, Mr. Dobson sitting down and all of a sudden right before he's going to fry, he makes this profession thinking that if he gets saved then maybe that Dobson will make a plea and maybe they'll extend it because that guy didn't care about anybody else. All he cared about was preserving his own life. He was a true psychopath. He could listen to you scream. The more you scream, the more he liked it. He could torture you, and the more you screamed, the more he liked it. And he never got enough of it. But boy, when it was going to be him that was going to be there and jumping around in an electric chair and fine, all of a sudden it's, what do I need to do? Oh, I'll get Jesus. Well, preacher, you can't say he wasn't. I'm saying that it sure was awful convenient that right before he was dispatched to hell or to heaven, he all of a sudden calls for one of the greats in the so-called Christian world that, hey, he don't want to talk to nobody, but somebody that can get his name out there in lights. Why didn't he call a preacher from Stark, Florida? There's plenty of them down there. Why didn't he talk to the prison chaplain? There's plenty of them down there. Why didn't he talk to some inmates in there and said, hey, they're fixing to fry me. I'm repentant for what I did. How can I meet Jesus? No, he has to make a publicity stunt. He has to put it out for everybody to see, hey, I want to get saved. Why? I'm trying to save my physical life. That's not real repentance. In my opinion, biblical repentance is a contrition. Like the boy in Montana raped a mama and her daughter, murdered them and mangled their bodies. After about 8 years in that prison, professed that he got saved. They were going to hang him. The AFL got involved. Some other people got involved trying to stop his execution. He called the newspaper. He said, tell these people to stop trying to keep me from dying. I deserve to die for what I did. I committed murder and rape, and both of those I deserve to die for. I'm saved. Stop using me to try to use me as a test case for all these other people you're trying to convert from death to life. I deserve to die for what I did. That's what the Bible says. You say, what do you think? Oh, are you kidding? I think the guy's saved. How can you be saved and do that? I don't know. David committed murder too. So did Moses. Samson killed a few people. And committed sideways. So it was suicide. We lie. Ourself, we believe our own lie, and then we make a liar out of God. When we say, Lord, it's really not sin. And Lord, now that I've got it out there, it's okay, right? Now that they've signed the contract, I won't do it anymore. It's okay, right? I mean, it's all right, right? I mean, I just stretched it a little. Or said, you're a liar. And now you've convinced yourself that under the circumstances or situations, it's okay in order for you to do something to get a chance to do right. It's okay to do wrong. Bring in a little contemporary music. It'll bring more people. Stop yelling. Calm down. Settle. Quiet down. Just a little bit. And more people will come. So it's okay to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Don't preach on sin. I Googled the thing. Now, y'all can go check. I'm not real good with all that stuff. But I tried to find me some charismatic preachers that preached on the subject of sin. I didn't find sin mentioned. I found all kind of other stuff that looked like it, but not the word sin. You say, why? It is such an unpopular term. People are like, don't be calling me no sinner. Yeah. Well, hey, can I just say this? Christ died for sinners. Yeah. Paul said, I'm a sinner. I'm chief of sinners. The Bible says that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scripture. Not your errors. Not your mistakes. Not what the world has convinced you is okay under the circumstances. I know this. I know that what we do in moderation, the next generation will do to excess. You're beginning to see that now. You're currently living in the generation that has been raised on television and computers. Where having an alternate personality or identity is the accepted norm. Who are you in life and who are you on the internet? They're not the same. They even have different names. You have a different name. You mean you're a liar? Well, I don't want them to know who I am. Or you mean you're saying something you're concerned about? I mean, I even know of them putting up things under aliases or assumed names. We used to put people in jail for that. I don't know if they still do or not. It's probably like, well, everybody has more than one name now, so I guess it's okay. But if you had these AKAs, also known as, you know what we knew about you? Something's wrong with you. You are crooked as a dog hind leg. If you fell in a barrel of fish hooks, you'd run all the way through. You're crooked as a cotton picking barrel of coat hangers. Why are you using different names, different social security numbers, different pictures? That slays me. I'm old. My wife took a picture of me the other day for this thing she was doing, and I said, let me see that. And I said, oh, Lord. When you look in the mirror, you don't see that. She takes a picture, and I'm like, why are you still married to me? I am old. I don't go thumbing through some kind of historical thing and find something when I was in better shape and had less white or gray hair. It's like, there's the truth, man. You're old. How could you even think anybody but your wife would be interested in you? Old man. Shriveled up prune. Ugly. But when we want people to believe we are our alternate personality, we post everything in a fantasy world. We're legends in our own mind. We're liars. We're not legends. We are liars. Now we've bought into it so much that some people actually believe their altered state is a real state. This is who I really am. That's not who I am. The addictive personality comes out. I didn't expect this to be popular. The Holy Spirit will convict you legitimately of what you're doing. Specifically. You lied. You were rude. You were arrogant. And what happens is you get to the point where you're so deceived in your mind, you believe your own lie, and then you're self-destructive. You can't even see the truth just right in front of you. You can't even be reasoned with anymore. You're completely in lockdown. You're shut down. You're shut off. You are, the Bible says, completely blind. I'm going to do what I want to do even if I die. I'm doing it. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm grown. Says the 10-year-old who's on his fourth iPad. Because the first thing he was given after a bottle was a pad. When they gave kids pads in my days, it was something you slept on or peed on, or pardon me, went to the bathroom on. Excuse me. Nowadays it's in vogue. Well, maybe not so much in India or Pakistan. Or Afghanistan, or maybe in China, or Japan, or less fortunate countries. It's companies, countries, kind of the same. But here, it's the norm. And kids browbeat you until you give it to them because they won't shut up. Why don't you tell them no? If you want it, go to work. Right, amen. Well, I have to go to school. Good. Don't I get paid for that? Uh-uh. You don't get paid to go to school. Y'all are real slow on that one. Really, you don't pay them to go to school? Mine was, you go to school, or we will apply the Board of Education to your seat of understanding. And I was kind of like, I kind of want to go to school. I'm liking it very much. Why are you walking like that? Well, because the teacher says, sit down. I think I'll be fine right here. But trust me, I won't be missing class anymore. I cut class one time. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, I learned a valuable lesson. It hurts to cut class. The teacher turned me in. The principal called me in. The daddy showed me how I was going to stay in from then on. One, I did, I cut it, I was bad, I just cut it. And what's bad is I didn't cut it and do anything like go smoke a cigarette or go join or something or something crazy. I was so stupid, I just went out and just like hung out behind the gym. Waited for the bell to ring. I mean, I could have at least done something fun. I'm just like, I've cut class, just to cut class. I'm back there, I didn't even cut with anybody. I'm like back there, just so I could say I cut class. I'm back there behind the gym. I'm looking around thinking any minute, you know, it's going to happen. And then the bell rings. I go back into the hallway and go to my next class. And the teacher walks by and goes, I didn't see you in class. You must be getting blind. I had to be there. Surely I was there. I'm here now, so I must have been there. Took me to the principal. He believed the teacher. The audacity. I almost convinced myself I must have been there. I had to have been there. I'm sure I was there. Teacher's really smart. Let me see your notes from class today. I opened up my notebook. I showed him notes and he goes, no, I told everybody in the class to write down a specific thing. I don't see it on your paper. Caught. Principal, wait here. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, that kind of deal. It was. I'll never forget it. Rossville Junior High School. I was a football player. I thought I was special. Hello? Yes, is this Mr. Peacock? Yes. How are you today, sir? I'm like, get on with it. You have a son named David? He said, not, is he okay? He said, what do you do now? Man. I wasn't a bad kid. He's like, what did he do? Not, you know, Dad, I could have been hurt. I was wounded or something like that. What did he do? He said he cut class. I could hear him on the phone. I'll be right there. I'm like, can they wait until after school? Not with my dad. And when does he show up? Class change where everybody sees this 6'3" man come walking in a suit and tie. He's taken off of his jacket and he's got his sleeves rolled up and he looks like, I am ready to do business. He walks into the principal's office, big as life. And he said, where's my boy?
Here.
First thing he did was sit down by me and he said, bud, first thing you're doing is going to that principal. You're going to tell him you're sorry for causing him problem in his school. You're going to apologize for cutting class. Dad, I got caught. It's his job. Boy. Sir, I'm really sorry that I caused a problem in your class and I'm really sorry in your school and I'm asking you to forgive me, please, and all that kind of stuff. He goes, now come with me. He said, sir, what room number is? He said, he knows how to get there. That principal's like, yeah. Grill him good. We went down the hallway, class is in session, everybody's there, and they're all looking out the hall, you know, like Baptists, they're all looking out, they're like, I mean, like that, they're all coming, they come crowding to the door, and they're looking, you know, and that kind of a thing. I'm walking out of the hallway like that, going to the classroom, and I walked up to the teacher, and I said, we're going to call him out. Daddy said, no, you ain't. You disrupted the whole class because you weren't where you were supposed to be. So just a second, knocks on the door, very polite. He says to my teacher, a woman, excuse me, ma'am, this is my son David. Yes, sir, I know him. I'm his dad, Ben. I don't ask you a question. could he have just a moment of your time? She said, yes, sir, I'll step right out. He said, no, 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 you're fine right where you are. Sit me in the classroom. You have something to say to her? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry I cut your class. What'd you say? I said, I'm sorry I cut your class. She said, okay, I understand. I turned away. He goes, well, you're not done. Tell the class. Now, see, some of you are sitting here right now, and you know what you're thinking? That's child abuse. How could you dare embarrass that child? You know what this child learned? If you don't want to be embarrassed besides whooped, you know what? You better not do it. You know what the Lord's trying to tell some of you? If you don't want to be embarrassed and you don't want me to whoop you, you better go on and get the thing right and do it right the first time and learn you don't need to keep repeating this behavior and expect to get the same result. That's insanity! You don't keep doing it and thinking it's going to change. It becomes ingrained. A habit. I just don't know why I can't quit. Because you're getting better at it.
Yeah.
You're practicing it.
Amen.
Does anybody remember plastic records? Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. God bless you. You know what? You play that record a lot, it develops a groove. And then it hits that groove and it jumps back to the beginning and plays it again. And hits that groove and goes back and plays it again. That's how sin is. You keep practicing it. You just hit the groove and keep repeating it. Don't be blaming it on childhood problems.
Right.
Don't be blaming it on environment. Blame it where the blame goes. It's sin. And you letting sin reign, Romans 6, in your mortal body. You not reckoning yourself dead. You allowing it to continue. You not putting a stop to it when you should have put a stop to it. Hey, man up and take the responsibility.
Amen.
Otherwise, you know what happened? Everybody else. Every freakazoid. Every weirdo. Every nut job will now say, oh, now I know why I did it. I'm so glad somebody else has my problem. So it must be okay. I'll amen it if you don't. That happens in the church. Years ago, there was an old preacher downtown. I liked him. He was over 80, had preacher's overweight, had preacher's profile. He was a nice fella. And he was a clean fella. There was a big hullabaloo in the church because a guy that was a known pedophile had gotten out of jail. Parentheses, they should have kept him. Close parentheses.
Yeah.
I'm prejudiced. You're right, I am.
Amen.
And if you are one of them, I hope you are uncomfortable right now, like you feel like you're fixing to puke.
Amen.
We just want to make that clear. I hope that it makes you like, oh, I feel kind of sick. He shouldn't be pointing me out.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, but I got news for you. If you got ants in your britches now, that might be the Holy Ghost. You got to be in your shorts. I got news for you. That's conviction. You're wicked. Prey on innocent kid. Anyway. Big hullabaloo because he'd kind of told a bunch of people and they all had such empathy for him. Oh, we understand. We can appreciate that. I mean, after all that happened to you. Of course, now none of them had he messed with their kids. That always is a game changer. This isn't too close to the cotton for you, is it? I'm nowhere near done yet, so just kick back and relax a minute. I'm going to blow off some steam. And all these people coming now because he thinks in his mind, because he's a legend, that he has the majority. He thinks everybody must be thinking like he's thinking. He don't realize all he has is a bunch of perverts around with him. Because even if you don't do it, if you're condoning it, you're a pervert. So you can't say that. I can. I've never heard that said in the church before. Time you did. Pervert. Whack job. Whack-a-doodle. Nut job. Crazy. out of your mind. You need some Phineases to stand up with a spear and say, you don't stop that foolishness. I'm in the Bible. All this ultra grace, forgive everybody stuff. Phineas said, I'll put a stop to it. Nobody else went. You got that old girl up there in front of the door of the tabernacle, and we ain't seen God, and God knows when. I'm going to tell you, give me the spear. And the Bible very clearly says, he runs a spear through that man's back and through her belly. You finish the story. God didn't come until the foolishness was stopped. What happened to holiness? Confess your sin, put it under the blood, and then stop your foolishness.
Amen.
Well, what happened? Well, they came in. They're going to have a coup against the mean old pastor. And after all, he's old and kind of getting up in years. And, you know, he needs to learn we're in modern times now. This is the greatest thing in the world. He stood up in the pulpit. He said, y'all can do with me what you want. But as long as I'm here, that man ain't teaching no Sunday school class. He ain't going to be around no boys. Ain't going to be around no girls. And he's not going to be here without somebody watching after him.
Right.
Oh, but it's a church. Hey, don't be stupid.
Come on,
I wanted to stand up and go, you go get him, preacher.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, why? He was right.
Well,
in the grace of God, sure. But there were repercussions for what he had done. Would you want him teaching your class? Working in the audacity of the wickedness of the people that gathered around him to say, you should let him teach somebody else to say, hey, don't worry about the danger you're putting their kids in. You know what I know? I know those people had things in the closet. And they were hiding it behind that.
Amen.
Been a while since I preached like this, and I can tell some of you like, I ain't coming back here no more. Oh my God, man. That man's lost his mind. Talking to me like that. Can I say this to you? If you think this is at you, you must have the Holy Ghost talking to you, because I don't know who got what. I love a drunk. But I ain't going to continue to condone a drunk's behavior. Say why? It's destructive. Sucks the oxygen out of the room. Puts wear and tear on people that love the Lord and believe the book because the problem's theirs. But hey, we're supposed to be like, it's our fault. Sorry. I didn't make you drink. I'll help you, but you gonna do your part. I didn't get a whole lot of help with that, but it's still true.
Amen.
Holy Spirit wants to deal with you from a redemptive standpoint. Don't ever forget that. He's pointing it out for a reason. He wants you to get it right. You say, why? He wants you back in fellowship. Amen. Preacher, you're making it sound like he don't want me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Ain't that what he says? So I want you to know He will forgive you, but at some point in time you got to quit going to the well and saying, forgive me again of the same thing.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know, it's why I'm in beset and seeing things, you know how it is. Had it for 40 years. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's powerless to stop yours. But if the Bible's right, I think He could probably help you overcome it in 40 years of practice, unless you're practicing the wrong thing. What you're doing is you're training yourself to do it, feel bad, ask the Lord to forgive you, go back, wait however long, do it again. And then we're supposed to believe you got the victory this time. You're smoking crack. Well, I got the victory. Okay, good. Show me as many years of not doing it as you have been doing it, we might believe it. In the meantime, I reserve the right to be skeptical. Don't be judging me. I will judge you according to the Bible and by your own actions. If you walk like a duck and swish like a duck and got wide feet like a duck and quack like a duck, you are a duck. Well, I'm just struggling with an alternate personality. One of them personalities better die. Ain't nobody supposed to be two people. You're nuts. You're feeding the wrong one. And then looking for me to make me the bad guy, because I tell you, you're wrong. You ain't putting me in your trick bag. Let's look at verse number 9 if we could, please. Sometimes those secret things we don't think anybody knows. My goodness, man. Let me hurry. Sometimes those secret things, they're just tiny little cracks. They can become disastrous earthquakes if left unattended. You just keep on. You say, well, preacher, if it's a crack, if I see the problem, what do I do? Put some cement in it. Seal that sucker under the blood of Jesus. Put some cement in it. Put some distance between you and it. Hey, you may not be able to handle what other people can handle. When you get old, you get to thinking, I can handle it now. No, you're going back to childlike thought. You can't handle it. I'll just have a couple of drinks and all that. You'll be drunk on your back end before long. Then you'll get to where, well, I deserve it. After all, I got to have something to help me sleep. Next thing you know, you're a drunk. But a closet drunk. Say what? In the Baptist church. Secret fault. Nobody knows. Remember going to a house one time. Busted liquor bottle on the floor. Glasses all over the place. Place stunk to high heaven like one of them movie theaters. All them soda pops being smelled every fiddle everywhere. And it's just rotten. Just stink. That stuff's just rotten sugar anyway. Just rotten in there. We find this guy over there, and I remember the woman that showed up at the thing. She said, oh, I'm so surprised. I thought he was such a fine man. I only knew him to be this, and I knew him to be this, and I knew him to be this. And the guy comes down. We're looking to try to figure out who the guy is. The guy comes down from the corner store. He goes, oh, I know him. I said, well, are you surprised? He said, at what? I said, well, she said, she goes, I don't care what she said. That guy comes down here and pops me for Mogan David on a regular basis down here. He said, I know what he is. He's a drunk. And his name is so-and-so. In the closet. I haven't hit your sin yet, right? So you're safe. I don't have to. The Holy Spirit already has. He's already told you. You're in the closet. And don't you dare think, preacher, I want to get up and tell people what I did. Ah, you shut your mouth. The Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of.
Amen.
Shut your mouth. I'm suspicious of that. You say, what is it? That's you trying to get ahead of something. You ain't fooling me. You keep that stuff quiet. I don't want to know it. Sometimes people come back, preacher, you know something? I said, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless you've been in jail for some kind of a major sex crime or pedophilia or whatever, I don't want to know about it. You say, why? I'm going to protect the kids. I got a bunch of policemen here, by the way. They're incognito. They're all around you. And then I got some other ones who aren't but should be. But they don't have anything that governs their behavior. So what happens is the police get you. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, by general orders and SOPs, we can't really. So then we turn you over to them other guys. And they don't have anything. It's kind of like, in the name of Jesus, come out, come in. Oh, I didn't mean to hit him so hard. Call rescue. Let me give you this real quick. 1 John 1:9, I love this verse, if we confess our sins. But isn't it interesting? Brother Brad, isn't it interesting it says, if we confess our sins? He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Can I explain what that confession is about? That confession isn't, I did it. This is where you make a big mistake. The confession is not, I did it. The confession is that the person that has sinned says, I did it. Then he steps across the aisle and he gets with God and he views what he did as God views it. Now he's in fellowship with God because God and you are in agreement that you did wrong and you deserve the consequences. It is not just, hey, I did. I want everybody to know now I did it. My daddy would say, good, you still gonna get your hind end tore up. Dad, I'm sorry, I did it. That's fine. See you in the back room. Just because you say you did it, then he'd bring you back there and then torture you with the agony of the damned. Do you know why you're here? Because you caught me. Wrong answer. Yes, sir, because I did wrong. What do you think I should do? That's what he'd say. What do you think I'm going to say? Let me go! I warned you, I got it! I did it! Let me go! I'm not in agreement with him. What do you think I should do? What you told me you would do if you caught me. Now I'm in agreement. Now I take the punishment because I understand I deserve the punishment, and thereby, parent, I don't get bitter at the one that punished me. Because I am in agreement, and in a sense, I'm allowing that punishment because I deserve that. David, you sin. I'm guilty. First sheep. Fine. I deserve it.
If we confess. Wore out with Christians who think confession is, I did it!
Publicly get up and put their filth out on the street. Can I just say this? Once you put it out there, anybody that's got any sins ain't gonna never forget it. You sin against a brother, go talk to him. You sin against the church, you better be careful about the details. Unless you're an idiot.
Say why? Because you know what you just did? You didn't care about who it infected, who it impacted, about the other people that look at stuff and say, oh, well, oh, if he did that, I did that too. And now you have unsaved people that are looking and going, well, see, this is why I don't want to be a Christian, because they're just a bunch of weirdos and perverts and drunks and drug addicts and all this other stuff.
Yep.
Can I say this to you? We have drug addicts here. Who are they? None of your business. We have drunks here. We have people that have been in jail before. Prison. Oh,
why don't I know about them? We don't run a background check on you.
Amen.
If we did... Oh, preacher, that was back when I was a teenager.
Nowadays, if you run it, you'd have to run a credit account, and then you'd have to go do like they do at your jobs. You know what they're doing in your jobs now? Just so you know, in case your parents may not be telling you, I'm sure your parents are telling you. This is for the benefit of others. You know what they're doing? They're pulling up your Facebook pages. Say why? Because they got more sense than Christians. They're looking at what kind of pictures you post and what kind of stuff you say.
I was working for 7-Eleven and I had a jerk for a boss and I didn't like them and they tried to tell me so and so forth. And then you go and say, can I have a job? They're like, hell, you are smoking crack, child. You don't know how to work for nobody. All you did is put out all this stuff. We don't want our business on the street.
I'm trying to help you. Hang with me. We're almost done. Confession. That's between you and God. We all fail. We all mess up. But confession is when you get Brother Mitchell on his side and say, Lord, I'm agreeing with you about me. That's who I really am. Well, you talk about take you down a few notches.
David, what do you think? You're right.
Man, I don't like looking at that through your eyes.
Pretty dirty. Yes, sir. You're right. What do you deserve? The punishment.
Now you can try to put in your plea for mercy there if you want. But don't assume you'll always get it. Sometimes God will be merciful to you for a while. But after a while He'll say, don't seem mercy's working for you. And then He withdraws His fellowship. If we confess our sins. And the Holy Spirit comes in and puts His finger on you. If you're lost today, you know what He'll do? He'll tell you, you're going to hell.
Holy Spirit will tell you whether a preacher will tell you or not. Whether other Christians will tell you or not. Would you like to go to a good place, wouldn't you? Don't you want to go to heaven? I think he should say, don't you want to go to heaven instead of hell? Give them a contrast. Oh, you believe in hell? Mm-hmm. You mean you don't? Idiot. You can't make no hay with somebody who don't believe in hell. You got to convince them there's a hell. You can't make no hay with somebody like that. Now let me say this and I'm going to be done. When you do it, confess it immediately. That's the best thing to do. When you do it, confess it immediately. Like that. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you. If you're out of fellowship with the Lord and He don't tell you when you know you're doing something wrong and you yourself know you're doing something wrong, and you better check up. Confess it as soon as you do it. Call it by name. And be confident He'll forgive you. But now after saying that, I have to cover one more thing and we're done. Because some people think that because I'm teaching you to confess your sins before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, that that means that I'm giving you a license to sin. God's not telling you to sin. Look, if you will, in chapter number 2 and look in verse number 1. He says this. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you so you'll have an excuse to sin. So that you can say, I'm a fallen creature and I just can't help it. Oh, it helps me so much to minister so much to so many other people because I have so much in common with them. How come Jesus never sinned and was able to minister just fine? How come the apostles stopped their sinning when they got in the presence of the Lord? At least their sin as it began to move forward was not the things, and they didn't keep repeating the things they did in the past. There was growth. No, he says this, and if I write him why that ye sin not. But if you do, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins. Preacher, what's that propitiation thing mean? It means He satisfied the cost against you. He took your place. Propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Question. Have you gotten kind of a little too tolerant of things that you should be intolerant of?
No.
Gotten a little too close to the edge? Sometimes when that happens, you become easy prey to other individuals. You start having empathy and pity for people when they do things that are clearly, absolutely, 100% wrong to be involved in, but you're blinded by your own sin. So it's like, well, if I have mercy there, then maybe they'll have mercy if I get caught. I don't want you to come to the altar because you're thinking you're avoiding getting caught. I've known people to come to the altar and they still get caught. I've known people to come and tell God everything. And after they told God everything, I pick up the phone and say, you need to come pick somebody up. Preacher, that's just not right. Really? Then you have a perverted way of looking at things according to the way God looks at it. Somebody's not going to come in my office and admit to messing with a child and me not call the police. As a matter of fact, I will stand between them and the door until they get there. You say, but now, this ain't no Catholic church. You don't come in here and expect sanctuary for your wickedness.
Amen.
You don't come in here and because you tell the preacher, you think, I will out you.
Amen.
Well, we're supposed to be able to... Don't tell me. That's the easy way around it. Don't put that on me.
Amen.
Come here and think, I'm not like, you know, okay, you're good, man. Go eat some wafers or something. You're good. I ain't going to tell nobody. I don't want to be in that bondage. And then, no, you did something. No, sir. You got the wrong preacher for that. Preacher, you shouldn't tell. Well, I know the things to keep confident. Do you walk in with that or some kind of abuse? I'm sorry, man. This ministry, in 26 years of being here, my wife being 26 years faithful to help me, you people, a lot of you been here for over 20 years, is not worth risking somebody walking in off the street and telling me some kind of filth in their past or trying to hook up to our credibility just to protect them. Say, hey, you know, we're supposed to, I ain't covering it up.
Amen.
That's kind of harsh. I believe in full disclosure. Final question. If God tagged you during the message, have you already said, Lord, you got me? And I agree with you, I'm wrong. And if so, what are you going to do about it? Wow, preacher. What a message. And now if I go down there, everybody don't think I'm a sinner. Okay. Then join the rest of us. Because if this message isn't for you now, at some point in time in your life, it'll be for you. You'll need it. Because the longer we're saved, the more of a tendency we have to ignore things in our life until they become habitual. And then they become accepted. And the next thing you know, we don't even realize it. We think we're in the light because we're just doing everything we used to. And that joy that he said in verse number 4 is gone and the light is out. And we're wondering, what's the problem? It's the hypocrites. It's this. It's that. And the Lord's like, no, you stepped out of the light. What do? I step back in the light. But realize when you do, it shines bright.
Amen.
You say, why? He wants you to get right. Sometimes we're real good about telling the truth about our past. But I'll say this and I'm going to close. Oftentimes we use the truth of our past to hide the lie in the present. And give the impression that because I'm telling the truth about something back here, it must mean that I'm telling the truth now. No. It's a put-on. It's a shield. It's something for you to hide behind. You'll never get help from God until you're willing to say, Lord, the same guy lying back there is the same guy lying here. The same girl lying back here is the same girl lying here. And I don't lie about that, but I'm lying here. I'm jiving. I'm conniving. I'm cutting corners. And you know what, Lord? I don't care who I involved in my lies. I don't care who I don't tell the whole truth to. As long as I get what I want, well, you're akin to the devil. As long as I preserve me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I think what I'd like to do is just take a moment or two just to meditate, think a minute, pray where you are. Just pray. I'm not asking you to come down front. It's been late. It's late now. I'm not asking for a big altar call, and I'm asking you this, though. What are you going to do about it? The preacher, he's wound up today. Thank God. Preaching on that sin. Amen, preacher. Need that. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you for that. What are you going to do? Well, I agree with you, preacher. These people need to get right. Okay. But if God spoke to you, and you want some help, could we just have a few moments of stillness? Heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around. And you do whatever God tells you. No begging, no pleading, no come, no music, no stay. You do whatever God tells you to do. Some have come forward. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. I don't want to hinder anybody, but I'll say this. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For whom we are, we're chastened of the Lord. Because we refuse to judge ourselves. Make the phone call today. Call up. Lord, just wanting to know what you think about how I'm doing this. Our Father, we thank You for Your many blessings and thank You for desiring to have fellowship with us. Thank You, Lord, that You made a way to have fellowship with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, that even after we're saved and continue to sin, that there is forgiveness for that sin. Thank You for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that restores that fellowship. Thankful, Lord, that it doesn't require us to be reborn again, but definitely reunited. I pray, God, that You'll help us to take seriously the things that are in the Bible, that not only do we not lie, we'll not believe our own lie, but we'll not make You a liar. We'll stop putting on the facade of walking in the light and hiding behind all the, quote, good things, end quote, that we do to make it look like we're walking in the light. To realize if your Bible is right that we're walking in darkness and we've deceived ourselves and believe our own lie. Justified our own sin. Help us today, Lord, to toss that aside. God, whoever may be listening, whether in a hospital bed or piled up in the living room or driving down the street or sitting here in these pews, I'd pray, God, that You'll help us to do business with You, that today would be the day not of re-salvation, but of a reuniting of our fellowship with You, and that You'll strengthen those that have failed in the past. You might help them to overcome those weaknesses and their sin, admit who they are and agree that they're only getting what they deserve. They'll stop wiggling around and take their punishment so that You can reunite with them in fellowship. Bless this day, Lord, I pray. Thank You for a building and people and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.